The Vantage Point is a Christian talk show that discusses everyday issues that women deal with.
Friends and family.
Education. Politics.
It's real talk.
Things that make us laugh.
Real talk.
Brings a lot of different things to the table.
It's a different kind of talk for women.
Topics that I like to hear.
From people who are similar to me. I want to hear their ideas.
With Dr. Jessica, Crystal, Tokoya, and Jennifer.
Everybody coming together.
It just makes my day.
On the All Indiana Podcast Network. This is the Vantage Point Podcast.
We got this thing turned up.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Welcome to the Vantage Point Table Talk. I am one of your hosts, Jennifer Rogers. I am in studio right now with Tokoya Porter, Crystal Dunn, and Dr. Jessica Mosley.
Woo woo!
You guys have been enjoying our podcast, and we have a pretty hot topic to talk about today, and I think one that resonates with myself and the whole cast or the whole show. And we're talking about marriage, ministry, work, and boundaries and priorities. How do you prioritize that? We were watching a video that was recorded some years ago by one of the big bishops in the in an organization, and he talked about
what makes him big.
Well, I mean, he's well known. I'm not going to call his name on air. You can go to YouTube and search pastor talking about divorce. I don't know, whatever. But I had seen the video some years ago, and me and my husband got in a real spirited discussion about it. So I thought, I'm going to see what the girls think about this topic. But the premise of his video was that he ruined his marriage in the name of God, that he prioritized his ministry so much over his marriage that his wife just said, you know what, I'm done. One of his arguments was that, you know, I was a preacher when she married me, so this should have been par for the course. She should have been prepared for that. He talked about getting picked up last at the airport. you know, I'm the last one at the airport waiting on somebody to pick me up. My wife's driving around a $300,000 car, and I'm the last one to get picked up at the airport. And it was because she didn't want him to go, and her attitude about him going. But, you know, when I had this discussion with my husband, he was like, well, you know, if she knew that was part of who he was and what he was called to do, he said, one of the things that's different is people want to be something versus being called to be something. And therefore, the attitude about it could be different. But I want to know what you guys think about that. How do you prioritize marriage and ministry? Because I know you guys travel, you have businesses, you travel. You know, how do you balance all of that, even with your kids, not just your husband, with even your family? How do you prioritize that? Anybody?
I think it's an ongoing process. I don't think it's something that you just come out the gate and know how to do on a daily basis. Something that I was saying to Jessica on yesterday. I know my husband loves me and will support me in anything that I'm doing, but it does not mean nearly as much to him what I do outside of the home as what I do inside the home. Mm-hmm. You know, I could say, I'm going to the studio to record, and he's like, well, what's for dinner? Mm-hmm. okay. Bring it back down to reality. And I can't say that didn't or it doesn't sting when I get those kind of responses. And it's not every time. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, that's my first priority. You know, I do believe home, where no matter married, single, or whatever, I do believe home is first priority. And if he's not happy, you know, there's a percentage of me that's not happy mm-hmm. either. And so I think it's an ongoing process. And I think some days we do better at it than others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've got many thoughts. One, if she's driving a $300,000 car, you ain't all mad about what he's doing.
You know I'm mad. Ain't that mad.
So, you know, pick what you're really mad about. Mm-hmm. Is it the fact that he's doing those things, or you don't feel special when he is there, or that, you know, I think that simplifies. I think listening to a clip simplifies it in a way that it's just not that simple all
right.
the time.
Right.
So, you know, she whatever, but. I don't know. This is a interesting tear for me because I feel very pulled in a lot of directions mm-hmm. and always trying to make sure that I prioritize. And I think that it's more complicated trying to prioritize it when it's something to do with God or some, or even work or something that's just not wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to figure it out when you're just wrong.
Right.
But when you're not just wrong for what you're doing and you're doing something good, it gets harder to see where that line is. Mm-hmm. And yet I agree with Crystal. You know, there's just some things, there's some things I just say no to because I just can't do that. I have to think in terms of exactly how much time I have and not just did he say yes or no, but how does he feel about it? Mm-hmm. Which becomes like mind reading sometimes. It really irritates my soul, if we're honest on this podcast. It irritates my soul if you say, yes, I can, and then act like, no, I can't. We might play this. And so you do get into a whole discussion, though. Is that fair? Because, you know, if you don't articulate what if you don't articulate what you want, if you're saying, yeah, and then judging me on a different criteria, is that fair?
It's not fair.
No, it's not.
You know, I think communication is probably the hardest thing in marriage, is communicating what you want, what you don't want, what you like, what you don't like, because like you said, it's not wrong. And how would a husband come up against something that has to do with God and feel like I have a right position in that? My husband has always been really very supportive of most of the things that I do. He usually comes with me. So we don't usually fight over stuff like that, but I know him well enough to know when I'm doing too much. You know, I traveled in 2019 and, you know, beginning of 2020 a lot. And some of the trips he went with me, you know, my trip to China, he had my...
Don't tell nobody you went to China in 2020.
2019. Sorry.
He was, you know, we were trying to figure out where we're going to get $15,000 so he can come with me because that's how much it cost. But the thought of, you know, I could tell when he was feeling uncomfortable about it. I could tell when he was feeling stressed about it. And so I knew when to back off. I knew when to schedule things out. So, you know, I just think, you know, communication is important, but family communication is important because not just husbands, you got children. How do you, you know, continue to be there and yet be great at your job or be, you know, great at ministry? It's a serious balancing act.
I want to, I'm glad that we are talking about this because I have so many experiences and opinions about it. One thing for sure is I think that, you know, we have to remember that we're constantly evolving. Now, what I do today, I definitely couldn't have done when my children were smaller, traveling, doing this. Even God, I believe God was preparing me for where I am today. However, when I was married, no, you didn't meet me when Miss CEO was doing really, really well. You know, I think I was just like really starting it, really starting the podcast because we did our own podcast together that you quit on. Yeah. But nevertheless, without telling you. But nevertheless.
You're talking about forgiveness.
Yeah, but I have forgiven you for that. But in all seriousness, I'm not that Jessica. So, If I ask you, like Takoya was saying, do you mind if I go host a brunch for the Essence Festival, one of the largest things that could happen to a journalist in her career, and you tell me, yeah, I support you.
Celebrity but then, journalist, let's get that.
Yes. Okay. Well, you know, you know, I'm a prophetess without honor. No, but in all seriousness, but I'm not that Jessica that was just doing, you know, I think we did good on iHeart, and then we started doing even better on iHeart. And then they was like, well, you have one of the number one shows, then you have celebrities calling you to like, well, remember we did Tiffany, now look at Tiffany now, you know, but the Budgetista. But my point is, you know, you're not going to be the same person that you were. Now, if you tell me that you don't want me to do something, is it because you don't want me to do it because it makes you look like you're not doing nothing? Or is it because you truly say, hey, I think you're doing too much right now. You know, it's not like your house is nasty. It's not like we don't have no food. It's not like I'm not giving you sex. Mm-hmm. None of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But, okay.
No, go for it,
but,
girl.
But in all seriousness, like, you know what my dreams were. We've sat down. You know, we sat down. Look, Takoya's preaching over in different countries. Mm-hmm. So, but you know who she, this is who she's evolving. One day she might be the pastor.
No.
I just... But
sorry,
but you understand
that slipped out.
But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, she's evolving. We have an ever evolving God. I don't know.
And yeah.
I don't know. I think that's where caring for the relationship itself comes in.
Right.
But that's my point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, you well, you have now you have another smaller child. You know, so I wouldn't expect you to be all over the world. But I mean, also you have a husband.
Yeah.
Too, you know what I mean? So right now, while I am single, I can take on more engagements. I'm very excited about that. I feel a little bit freer, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But I also have a teenage daughter.
Right. Right.
You know, so I can't go everywhere, you know, and I'm very protective of mine. Mm-hmm. They can name on their one hand how many times they got to spend on other people. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, you know, sometimes I feel like it's such a double standard.
Why?
When it comes to women in ministry or women traveling, women doing it, and then men doing it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what definitely. I mean? And so I was talking to my husband about that. I was like, well, is there a double... Even when you talk about ministry, this was a man talking about how he felt like, you know, his marriage got ruined. But when women are in ministry, you know, it takes on a whole nother thing. Because now I've got to, you know... try to figure out what the Lord is saying to whoever I'm good, and then I got to make sure my house is clean, laundry's done, this is that, you know, all of these things. But where is the, what do they have to do? what do you have
but
to
you
do?
Know the, but you that, know the, but you know the role of a wife. I'm just talking about right, biblically, because right. I know a lot of people, they feel like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's where he went with that.
Yeah. I can hear him doing that's it too. But I mean.
God has an order.
I agree with that.
I agree with that as well. But I'm just, but I do understand that, and that's another thing. When me and Krista were talking yesterday, I was like, "So if a guy gets with me right now, this is who I, this is what I do, this is who I am. You know what I mean? So am I supposed to not be who I am because it doesn't make you? Because if you get with me right now, this is what you're signing up for. These people, Jenny, Takoya, Chris. I mean, you got all of these other people in our lives. Seriously,
right?
Because I got questions.
But also, look, Takoya's a youth pastor, right?
I just need a name and a...
You're a youth pastor. Look at all the people that's pulling on you. And you have children that want you, too. Like, how do you even balance that?
I mean, I think you set boundaries. And I know you set boundaries. And some of this, I saw my parents do it before me. So, and some things they did really well at, and some things they absolutely failed at. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, both ways have taught me a lot. Because my mom was a youth leader. She was very hands-on, and there was no text then, so it was more like she was on the phone all the time. Or always talking to somebody right. after church, and always somebody around. And that taught me a few things. You know, there were moments where she said she knew we had issues when we went car shopping. Me and my brother were like 9 and 10, and we looked at the trunk. We had them open the trunk to see how many teenagers we could fit in it. Because we were always beating them up. She was like, she knew her kids had some troubles, you know? They had some problems then. And so, you know, I understand when I look at my kids both sides of that.
Yeah.
And I try to give them space to talk about it because sometimes I don't get it all right. Sometimes it's a balancing act and I fail. Every time I'm at church past 30 minutes, somebody's mad after dismissal. And yet, you know what? That's kind of their life, too. So you're fine. Mm-hmm. But when they've had a test or when they have to be up early for something, then I'm like, no, we're going to leave. Mm-hmm. I'm not just bowing to your every whim. I want to go home, though, because this is not how this works.
And at the same time, we're teaching them service.
Exactly.
We're teaching them ministry. This is how you care for the saints. This is how you, you're serving God by taking care of them. And I think sometimes that's where we have to teach the boundary. You know, like me and Kara, my youngest daughter, were having a conversation the other day. And I said, Kara, I believe in... Maybe not in everything, but in a lot of things, I believe in sharing with my daughters what I could have done better, what I need to change, because I don't want them to make the same mistakes. And I told her, I said, I don't ever want you to leave your home and your family feels second because you didn't stop to make sure they were taken care
right.
of. You know,
yeah.
I said, it's different if you got something to do when you're just running. I said, but when you have time and you have those family moments, because I do believe that what we're using our ministry, I said, I need you to always take care of your home and your family.
Mm-hmm.
I said, everything else has to fall. And she's, so I thought that was funny because the next day, Pierre said, are you going to get up and make me breakfast or something like that? And she said, no, because mommy's taking me to get my nails done.
No,
I said, Kira, did we just have this conversation? And of course, she's like, oh, yeah, mom said we can't do that. I was like, were you listening? But I think we have to teach them boundaries and we have to teach them responsibility. Your family is your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing I think, particularly that I see with a lot of women, is they don't take care of themselves.
Right.
What does that mean? Let's talk about that. You are running all over the place, but you look a mess. Your home looks a mess.
Ooh. What does look a mess look like?
I can't.
You should have a fashion show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had a fashion show on Sunday.
And I was in it, and my friend didn't support.
Yeah, to show what that was, Jessica. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah.
My daughter was in it, too.
Did they have on girdles?
As a matter of fact, yes.
You were unavailable.
I think so, might have. But, I mean, just... You know, if whether it's health-wise or whether it's just taking time out for yourself, I think we have to be taught that because I don't always see that. And I don't think it's because you don't want to. I think it's, one, because you were not taught
mm-hmm.
or you don't have no boundaries set.
Yeah.
You know?
Or you're just trying to get everything done.
Right.
And you become last
right.
on your own list. That's me.
If at all.
That is me. Right. I'll go get her hair done. I'll be like, okay, we gonna wash this and wear this today. Because it's more important to make them feel, and I think that's just a woman's thing, but it's more important to make sure everybody's okay.
Yeah.
Before you are. And sometimes... You know what? I was in Houston in June, and it's the first time I was ever in a hotel room by myself. And when I tell y'all, I loved
it.
I ran around the room however I wanted,
yes.
literally.
Yes.
I think I might have jumped on the bed at one point. I just did
totally
the most random stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, this is what it feels like.
To be alone.
To be alone. I haven't been alone in 20 years.
Wow.
Not really. Not
yeah.
without somebody texting,
yeah.
calling.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is amazing. You know, so you don't, but you don't, I do believe there's a time for that.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that. I mean, my youngest is now 8 and she's still fairly small, so I don't go all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the boys are now, what, 18, 17?
Hey, yeah.
You know, they're a senior and they're a sophomore in college, so
yeah.
let's go.
Yeah.
But there's a time for that. It wasn't time for that when I was a
yeah.
young mom.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to be tired. You might look a little ragged sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get what you got to do done.
Mm-hmm.
But as time goes on, boo, whoever's out there and you still in that early stages.
Just hold on.
Just hold on.
Hold on.
They grow up.
So, you know, what's interesting is, I think it was back in 2000. When did you get in your accident?
2007. December 22nd, 2007.
So, I'm trying to think, when did you take a break from the young people?
The next year when I was pregnant with her.
Okay. So, my husband and I, we were having such a hard time working together in ministry. We were having a hard time. And we're over to marriage ministry, so it was already all kinds of... We have to deal with all kinds of crazy that I'm thinking, does anybody else have to do it? It's like every situation we want to address, we end up having to go through it ourselves and having to find a way to navigate
through
it.
You need to be the first partaker.
Apparently.
Yes.
But we were my husband was feeling some type of way about the ministry. And he was like, you're taking over. You're not listening to me. You know, that kind of thing. And he was just, you know.
Wait just one second. So someone else recognized
oh, yeah.
you have a takeover
Absolutely.
Spirit.
Absolutely.
Okay.
He knew that. And it, you know, it went, you know, there was an idea he had and I do what I do. And just, and then the idea became unrecognizable to
mm-hmm.
him. And
mm-hmm.
he didn't like that. But not saying I don't like that. Just acting out, I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we were at a marriage conference, and I'm on my way leaving. I'm just going to leave because I don't know what your problem is. I mean, we had a whole just, and I was thinking, Lord, I cannot effectively do a ministry and not be authentic and not be honest.
Right.
You know, I don't ever want to be one of those people
being
one
deep.
Way
Go ahead, Jenny.
At home and live in another way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at church. I just could not be that person. And we were going at it. Yet we're in the midst of a marriage conference trying to help people get, you know, and I'm thinking, what, this is insane. And so we went to the pastors and talked, and Sister Harris says, well, I Tequoia needs a break and or whatever. And we want you guys to take, you know, this group of the young people. And I'm looking at her like, we still got to do it together because I thought this was supposed to help us, you know, get away. Because my husband is, at that point, had always worked in church with me. I've worked in church without him, but he's never worked in church without me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we did Sunday school classes, whatever, we've always just been together. And so I thought we were just getting on each other's nerves, and maybe he just needed his own thing to do his own thing. And I was perfectly fine with that. And so we ended up having to work with them together, and I think maybe it was the subject change, maybe it was because it was a different subject that we learned different ways to work together. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the pressure of talking about marriage and talking about, you know, this is how you're supposed to work together at marriage or whatever. But I was so grateful for that break from that mentally, because it was, it just felt like it was so overwhelming, and I wanted to do right. We wanted to do it right, but we were so falling all over each other trying to get it done. And I wonder how many couples, how many folks, even pastors' wives, fall over each other with the ministry and how it bleeds into their house. And that becomes a battlefield of, you know, crazy. And I was just so, I was like, I hate Victor Koya. You know, I had to take a break. But I was so grateful for the change of subject in mind, because it did help us refocus and understand, okay, wait, let's not talk about marriage because that was just too much. But let's talk about something else. And then, you know, being able to give each other space to be who we are in that ministry. And so I was always grateful for that. But then I think about how many pastors don't get that break. You know, how many pastors' wives don't get that break from the ministry?
And you lose a lot of pastors' families because of that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I am pastor's family, so. So, yeah.
Pastor Jenny.
I know that's, you lose a lot of them because, mm-hmm. I mean, if we fight, it, and not talking about my house now, the one where I live with my husband, I'm talking about my parents. Mm-hmm. It's my parents, myself, and my brother. At any given moment, we can all go to battle over church stuff. Mm-hmm. And yet we all love it. And I thank God for that. Mm-hmm. We're all there. We're all very visual. Well, my parents are the pastors, but we're all very active, right. And we support it. But it's always been that way in my house, in the house growing up. So it was always, if there was a conflict, it was probably related to something happening at church and not from a standpoint of people. It's usually our opinions about what's, we're all very opinionated.
Very.
Two is a little quieter. My brother's a little quieter.
I don't agree with
but
you anymore.
when he speaks, it's finality in his mind. So we're all strong minded. Let's put it like that. And so, and so you do. I have always understood how pastors' families leave the church. I totally get how that happens. I thank God it's not our story, but I totally get how that happens. You can have things in your life that consume your whole life,
right?
And it's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. But I think that, well, when it comes to the ministry side of it, I think if we all love God so much, we've all fought to love God.
Right.
Even past the roles.
Right.
So that has saved us a lot of times. Mm-hmm. But with my own kids, what I try to do, and I let them tell me, I'm like, how am I doing with this? Mm-hmm. Am I messing it up? Is this too much? You know, because I am very driven when it comes to ministry. I care about it a lot, but I care about my kids more,
right.
And my husband more. So there's some things I just I'm not as busy as I could be because I can't right now.
Right.
They need me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there will come a time where I can do all these different things that are presenting itself, but I don't want, and I thank God because in my house, some of the things that we fought about growing up in my parents' home, we don't do anymore. My parents have outgrown it a lot. They're growing up. I always told them I raised them. It's hard raising parents. So they won't be surprised when they hear that.
Right.
They've been raised well. They're getting up. They're growing up.
Yeah.
But some things I've been blessed not to repeat. And then some things I've seen where, hey, Sequoia, you need to bring it together because you know exactly why your child feels that way.
Right.
You know exactly what they're thinking about right now. So it's just, it's an ongoing dialogue because there's no bar for how to do this.
Right.
When it comes to setting priorities and the God and even work and stuff, there's no bar. It's what they need in that moment. And that need will evolve.
Mm-hmm.
So the bar changes.
Right.
And so it's just a constant try. So that's where I sit, but it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I love how you said I love my family more than the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always an oxymoron sometimes. It's always you always feel so torn when you're talking about what I'm giving to God and how I'm performing his word, because I just don't believe God gives ministry to tear apart families.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe
I agree
that.
With that.
I don't. I think that, you know, there has to be a meeting of the minds. There has to be some honest communication, some honest, you know, this is what I'm expecting. And this is where, you know, my husband has always said, I will walk away from this if my home's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't be doing this. And he's so serious, good Lord, because peace in our house is something that we are very fiercely protective of. And I think you have to be. It's my house, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And anything that comes in and tries to destroy the peace in my house, and I don't care if I birthed it, if it tries to destroy the peace in my house, oh, you got to go.
Honey.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Jenny, you're the queen for that.
Here. But you have to be protective of the peace that's in your house.
You have to.
And the ministry that you signed up for, right? The marriage ministry you signed up for. You didn't have to do it.
I'm going to sign up again for it.
It was an elective. I always tell people, wow.
You're going to sign up again.
Flunk an elective. I still believe in love.
Oh, Lord.
I'm interested in flunking an elective. I picked this, so I can't let this take me
down. There is a screening process, though.
Don't worry.
Yeah, we're going to screen your next applicant.
That's I have a couple.
But you can reach out to her and find her. No, I'm just
you can reach me? Yes, you can. I am available. I am
taking applications.
Send them to the Vantage Point. Vantage Point TV or Facebook.
Actually, no,
so
please,
we can screen them.
Please don't, because my first lady will see it. I'm hiding from her.
Screen in our inbox.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, that comes to
that's
us.
Right. You know Sequoia gonna tell it.
I will.
Yes, you will.
Okay.
No, but I want to say something though. I was watching you Friday when Caleb was preaching. I don't even know why my eyes got fixed on you, because you were sitting like right to the left of me a couple of rows over before Jenny came and interrupted my service on Friday night. But nevertheless,
you mean Khalil?
That's his name. Is it Khalil or Caleb? I don't know.
Khalil.
I know it starts with a C.
His name is Khalil.
Okay, I apologize that I mispronounced the name, but I want to say that when you're in ministry mode, it's so beautiful to me. I really admire that about you. Like, I love, because Sequoia always sits there, crosses her legs, and she's so in tune with, like, what there's. I'd be like, dang, I wonder if I ever got up and speak, would she be that in tune? She'd be like, no, you know, she'll be making those faces. Like, but I think that, I wanted to give you that compliment. I thought it was a beautiful thing to say. I think she's serious about ministry, don't you, Jenny and Crystal?
Oh, yeah.
I hate sitting over because I can't see you guys' faces. But I need some energy. But I want to say that I think that even I was listening to something. I was thinking about my own mother and how she was. My mother wasn't in ministry, but she worked from like 6 a.m. in the morning as a mail carrier. She had to be at work at 6. And then she probably didn't get off to 6. And she worked like that 5 to 6 days a week,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I used to feel like, and then I remember my uncle, her brother, getting murdered. So it was like, that happened when I was like 6 years old. And I just remember that fun, enthusiastic Deborah was no longer that person. So here she is working all the time. Then she's depressed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I used to, and so, but so my grandmother took us to church, right? So that was another outlet from the darkness in our house. But I was just, I was telling her the other day when we were together, I was like, Ma, you really did the best you knew how to do with what you had, mm-hmm. you know? And I think sometimes as mothers, as wives, we're just, like Tequoia said, there's no book written, there's nothing, there's no directions on how to be a great wife. You know, people, you know, they have their opinions. You know what I mean, you know, but the Bible, but I'm saying, we're still imperfect people. Absolutely. We're not going to get it right. Maybe I'm not going to cook. I didn't know how to cook baked spaghetti like your mama did. Mm-hmm. So now I'm serious. You compare me to your mother, really, of all people, you know. But it's like, I don't get it right. I don't get it right. I'm not going to be the best friend all the time, Jenny, that comes to all the events. You know, but I support in other ways. You know, we can't always get it right. And I just think that, sometimes these discussions, it makes me nervous because I'm like, I'm not going to get it right. I may not give you all the time you need. I'm not just saying you, but I may not give Aaliyah all the time, Michael all the time. Because Michael, one day he was like, do you ever got time just to talk to me for just a few minutes? Mm. And I said, when you call me and ask me for something, that's your few minutes that you're going to get. But seriously, in all seriousness, I can't be everything to everybody. And when I try to do it, it hurts me. You know what I mean? I've turned down speaking engagements or stuff because I knew that I didn't want to leave my daughter with certain people. So I don't go, you know? But now that they're older and I can somewhat trust Michael to be a responsible adult, I let you know I do different things, but I just can't be everything to everybody.
We as women all battle with that kind of failure, though, mm-hmm. feeling like we're failing at something. Is that just me? I battle with feeling like I fail. Every day I failed somebody by the time it's over.
Right. Oh, yeah, because you know, you fail me every time I come on to you to speak.
Except for Jessica.
She's the only one that gets 100% of
everybody. I don't get 100% of nobody. And I want to talk about that, too, because I wasn't invited to something. But anyway, go ahead.
No, I'm just wondering, though, seriously, because people look from the outside and they think, oh, yeah, da-da-da-da-da. I mean, I hear that junk all the time. They think this or they think
it's
that.
Like, well, you don't care what people think.
And no, I'm just saying they put you on a pedestal or they put you in a certain place, and you're sitting there like, you don't know what you're talking about.
My kids just said, I just failed them this morning, you know what I mean?
It's like, but you're always trying.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do y'all deal with that a lot?
I deal with it a lot.
I think so.
Yeah.
Jenny, I deal with that.
But that's the outside looking in.
Yeah, I do. I feel inadequate most of the time, even though I feel like, especially if it's, you know, if it's things I know how to do and I'm like, oh, yes, I know how to do that, I still feel inadequate because I think I beat myself up more than, you know, my husband says, well, you know, your half or your middle is somebody else's great. But I don't know, I compete with me.
True.
You know, I am my own worst enemy. I compete with me. And so I have had to let go of some of that perfectionist mindset.
When did you do that?
it depends on what it is.
I mean, goodness.
Like, right now, I don't think my bed is made. I don't know. But, I have pushed those ideologies off on the people that I care about. And, you know, they've had a struggle trying to meet those expectations.
I'm so glad that you acknowledged this on this podcast because seriously, me and Jenny have had some fallout. We're not going to talk to each other no more.
For at least a couple days.
Yeah. No, but you did talk to me within the next hour. Though.
Yeah, it was,
No, but it was bad because I'm just like, I'm not this girl.
I'm learning to.
I'm just glad you acknowledge it, Jenny.
Because I do have extremely high expectations.
Extremely high.
But I set them for myself, so it's not something that I wouldn't try to do. But I have to realize that, you know, sometimes what you do for your house, even if it's not perfect, you've done something. And I've had to learn it didn't have to be perfect to be good. Mm. Right? It's still good. But that, again, is probably my childhood, probably a whole lot of other stuff wrapped up into to what makes me who I am today. But I've had to learn that, you know, you can't hold people to standards that you didn't even want to communicate to them. Oh, and two,
this girl is preaching today. I want to give her an offer.
To reach. Right?
I'm serious, man.
Oh, stop it.
No, but I'm just glad that she's acknowledging her trouble on this platform. Because Tequoia, if you would have just been into Chris, if y'all would have just been a fly in that room one day when we were at that warehouse, you would have been like, what is going on up in here?
I wouldn't have worried about it. Y'all be all right.
No, Tequoia.
See, y'all are all right.
Yeah, I love her.
See,
our love outweighed the problem.
I would have just walked out. Okay, right. It'll be all right.
Are y'all fighting?
It'll be all right.
It could have went there for real. It was bad. It was bad.
I think we, as women, I think we always have what we saw growing up, what we experienced growing up, and we create this list of, well, when I get and when I turn or when I'm married or this is how I'm going to do my kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think we kind of talked about this before when we talked about full circle. Mm-hmm. I think now that we are in some of those positions that our mothers were, we understand why they did what they did.
Right.
We understand how they got there.
Yeah.
And yet we're always in this self-correcting mode. Okay. I know this is how I got there. And I think that's pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that feeds into what you were saying, Tequoia, about feeling inadequate or feel like I failed today. And they come from so many directions, you know. Or I thought this meal was delicious today. Yeah, but last time you made this different.
Yes, I can never cook right.
Didn't cook. It would be a whole different conversation. But this time, there's an ingredient missing. Really?
Really?
What?
Well, at least they acknowledge that they see your effort, you know, or lack thereof.
Right.
Acknowledgement. I don't know. Lack thereof.
Because mine just be praying that I cook. I'm like, no, we can DoorDash today. We just go on DoorDash. DoorDash breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
What?
Yes. I'm sorry. That was a waste of money, though. I didn't really. Okay, anyway.
Cook, Jessica. You can
cook.
Girl, DoorDash. And we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, DoorDash, today.
See, and I don't mind cooking, but they mind eating it. So there's the real problem. Like,
I don't ever hear you cooking, Tequoia.
I do cook. I cook like 3 or 4 days a week. I really do.
Because Tequoia was like, well, we're about to go to the Chick-fil-A place. I'm like,
damn. Well, Chick-fil-A is our Tuesday stop. But,
okay.
But outside of that, I mean, yeah, I will. But they, by the time they get done with me, I'm done for the week. You got one. I'm not even going to say which one. They'll come in and look, and they just grab cereal. like most of the time.
Aww.
The other one be like, he won't say anything. He'll just DoorDash. You won't know he's not eating until the doorbell rings. And then the other one will usually at least try it. And he'll be like, it was okay.
That's Ethan.
Yep. It was okay. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
But the other two, they judge on face value. They ain't tasting nothing. If they glance down and they don't like the presentation, all your work is down the toilet.
That's terrible.
Okay.
Terrible. Oh, so we're...
okay.
So we've been talking about all of our failures and all of our... Sharing our bleeding hearts out here.
I have not failed one time.
I can't.
Missed the mark, but I ain't failed because now it's in him.
Huh?
Y'all don't want me to preach
those
to
those are different words.
Totally
that is F E L L E D.
You know what? Maybe
failed. I don't even think that's the way you spell it. Failed.
When I speak, they be acting like I really have something to say. I keep telling them I'm nobody in my home.
Not F A I L. I really messed that up at the start.
But, you know, I think we all, I've had some, you know, I've got grown kids now. And so having these transparent conversations, the conversations you have with your child when they're grown about their childhood. And, you know, you've of course, every parent has to have that.
We really failed.
Sorry. You know, but I remember having this conversation with my daughter and she's just, you know, angry about, you know, things that, again, were in her own mind. You didn't communicate any of that. How are we going to know that? And having to, you know, I did the best I could. It should never be intent, right? I may not have seen that, But you can't judge my intent. I didn't want to, right? If I had known X, Y, and Z, I would have reacted differently. But, you know, intent versus impact. You don't, you know, I get it. You know, and things look so different. Mm-hmm. You know, my kids, my daughters and I got to write in a book, a mother-daughter book. And when I read what my daughter wrote about me, first of all, I didn't know what she was going to write. And I didn't vet it. I didn't read it. I didn't read until it was published. So I didn't know what it was going to. And that was serious, just hoping that it was all going to work out. But when I read what she wrote, she talked about a time where she was getting a shot at school and she wouldn't do it. And she's flipping out. And, you know, they brought her brother down to try to calm her down, and that didn't work. And so they called me, and I lived right down the street. So I came, and she said, "You walked in, and you flashed that smile, and I knew it was going to be okay."
Aww.
And you took me out in the hallway, and you said, "I can do, what's your favorite scripture? I can do all things through Christ." And you made me say it like 3 times. And I did, and I said, "Okay, now we're about to go in here, and we're going to get this shot, and you're going to get yourself together. Or you gonna get a whooping or something." She said, "But I felt like as soon as you got there, it was gonna be okay." And I think when I think about all the challenges we've had in our relationships over the years, how much that meant to her, mm-hmm. I barely remember it, but it was so impactful to her. And I thought, okay, God, at least I know I didn't do it all wrong the whole time. But when she concluded her story, it was, "I know you gave me what you had." Mm-hmm. You know, I appreciate you giving me what you had. When you're raised in different kind of environments, you don't always know if you're doing it all right. You know, you don't always know parenting from what I got. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to do it right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I may not get it right. But it's not for lack of trying. It's not for lack of effort. And so I think that, you know, when your children are adults and you start having those conversations about them processing their testimony of their childhood, as a parent, you can't get overly defensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was one thing I learned is I was 20 something. You grew up with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. They judge you based on the mom you are today. I was 20.
I was 17,
and
girl.
I was a kid. And I was doing this. And I'm like, yeah, I missed some stuff. Man, you might not take a bath every day. I don't know.
You ate, though.
You know, and maybe you date bologna and cereal. I don't know.
It was still
you
that know, you
I
ate, though.
I was just lucky to be, you know, functional at that point. But, you know, it does, like we talked before about full circle moments, it does come full circle. But that balancing act of ministry, marriage, and family, and, you know, work, it's a lot.
Oh, my.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I want to conclude and say, I apologize to my mother for being ungrateful. I did.
Yeah.
Because sometimes my children act ungrateful. Mm-hmm. So now I know how my mother mm-hmm. felt. Because I know that she, now that I'm an adult, like you said, I can see that she did do what she knew what to do with the best that she knew how to do. Because my intentions was never to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe to make you feel something on that bottom. But it was, oh, excuse me. Right. I don't want them to come behind me. Yes, lady, you know they're trying to get you now. And I was like, you were a bitch. No, I never did that. But
it's too late now.
Too late.
Well,
yeah.
I've just always wanted to. I mean, I was a kid when I had my kid.
Yeah.
So I didn't do everything right. Mm-hmm. And I forgive myself.
And that's a big part of it, too.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know now, sitting where we sit, I understand better the weight of the things that impacted their decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And that you don't know when you make them what the outcome will be.
Right.
But it's never a question of love.
Right.
That's right.
And so that's where I sit. I mean, you know, we all out here trying, ladies. So y'all better keep it up to our listeners. Ladies, we are trying.
Yes.
You do your best and you let God do the rest. That's You're going right. to make mistakes, but just don't make them twice.
Or 3 times, or 4, or 5, 6, 7. Thank you.
All right, we're wrapping up the Vantage Point Table Talk. We thank you so much for listening with us tonight. And like she said, ladies, we can do this. And husbands, it's okay. Your fans won't fall off if you wash the dish or take out the trash. It's okay to offer some assistance if necessary. But hang in there, hang in there, hang in there. It does get better. Thank you for listening.
Indiana Podcast Network. This is the Vantage Point Podcast. Be sure to like, share, follow, support, and tell everyone you know about this podcast. Available at allindianapodcast.com and wherever you get your podcasts.